All right, Ray Ferraro will join us here in a moment. So Nathan MacKinnon, I got to be honest, the timing of this article, brilliant. Brilliant. Because if you're a Western, if you're a player that plays in the West and you're Canadian and you want to make some noise when you get up here,
yeah,
you wait for the Canadian swing.
Exactly.
The Avs were in Toronto last night. They're in Montreal tonight. Nathan MacKinnon was doing an interview with Forbes magazine, and he was talking about his current contract, and he was offered a bridge deal prior to signing the six-year deal, and if he took the bridge, he would have been up for a contract right after he was second in MVP voting a few years ago. Right. He's still got 3 years left on his deal after this at 6.3, and he came out in the article saying when he's up in 3 years, he's not going to ask for all the money he can get. He said, I'm not going to take all the money because I want to win here and I'm committed to winning. And I realize you got to spread the wealth around. And it couldn't have happened in a better town for that article to break.
I'd sent that to
such a troll joke.
Oh, it is a troll joke.
Brilliant by Forbes.
But people's heads would explode around here.
Well, Matthews took every penny. Marner took every penny. Bill Nylander took every penny he could get, which is their right.
Yeah, it is their right.
Nothing wrong with that. They're allowed to do it.
Yeah.
But then old Nate McKinnon's like,
I'm good.
I'll take a charity piece, and we can make sure we keep the gang together. So it's not going over so well here.
No.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What was your reaction to McKinnon's comments?
I wish I had a decision to make. Should I take 6.3 or should I take a little more?
Yeah,
that was pretty good. My first thought. Man, that would be okay. I could be okay with that, I guess, you know.
Didn't he sign that after kind of a subpar second season?
Yeah, it was. Like he,
yes.
He wasn't dominating.
At the time, it wasn't a lock.
So don't act like it was just, I'm taking a discount here. It was like, I want to get this done. Who knows what's going to go down year three?
You know what, if I remember correctly, when the deal was signed, there was a feeling that, wow, that's a lot of money for him. You know, like it felt like, ooh, they're taking a bit of a chance. And it's kind of like Pasternak's contract, I guess. You look at that and you go like, man, those guys should be making way more money than they make. But they chose at the time to sign it. Now, it is, in Toronto, of course, a pretty sticky subject. And I mean, I guess it's everybody's different. Everybody can do whatever the heck they want to do. But just think, if he leaves some money on the table, we don't know how much that money is because he's not going to re-sign for 6.3.
No.
Maybe he was going to be worth, by that time, maybe he'll be worth $12 million and he'll take $10 million per year.
Right.
You know, like I think that's kind of what we're talking about. Like to look at the difference between Matthews 11.6 and McKinnon 6.3, I think you said, like that's really kind of an unfair comparison. The numbers aren't the same because it'll be a different math equation by the time he comes up for his next deal.
Well, and I'll believe it when I see it.
It's one thing
to say it now. It's another thing in 3 years to still say, yeah, I'm going to take less. He's entitled to changing his mind. He can do whatever he wants. It's his career. But I think what he is achieving with this, and I'm not sure that this was necessarily the plan. I'm not saying this was premeditated. It's not like he said it to the media in Toronto. He was conducting an interview with a magazine that has no basis in the hockey world. But the PR game that these guys can play in the cap era is important, and it's smart. And for him to even suggest this now is laying the framework for, hey, I'm a team guy. I love it here in Colorado. No problems for me.
Right.
And I will say this, retrospective analysis, these Leaf players, Nylander, Matthews, Marner, if there's one thing that they could have done better, the PR game could have been played a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
A lot better. They could have come out and been a lot more forceful. I'm staying here. I'm doing it. I want to be here. And they just never did that. It never happened.
Right.
And
I don't understand what kind of PR game they would have had. They said, I want the most money possible.
Well, exactly. But if you spun it differently, even though they got the money, like put it this way, Tavares got $11 million, and then it came out later. Well, he could have got more in San Jose. Right. Doug Wilson wasn't spreading that word.
Right.
That was, I think, the Tavares camp letting people know. Remember McDavid?
Right.
Could have signed for 13, took 12.5. Brilliant move.
Right.
Brilliant move because people are like, what a team guy, willing to give money back. The PR game, it seems simple, but it's not. And people will eat it up. Like, look at the McKinnon comments. People are like, eating it up. It doesn't mean anything. He's not up for a contract right now.
You know, but it's because it's here in Toronto, and you're looking at the three players that maximized to their own right what they were going to make. And people are envisioning, and they're watching the current team that can't have any injury or any player added to their team because of the cap. They're so cash-strapped.
And can't win anything right now either. That
right.
doesn't
That's
help the mood
too.
Either.
You're right.
Now, if they, you know, if it was 11-6 that they could have made, and then they take could have made $12 million and they take 11-2, that probably doesn't change anything in the long run for their lives. But people would see it as a bit of a give back.
Right.
Now maybe that wasn't available. Maybe they did do that in their own way, or they feel that they did that, but it doesn't look like it from, to your point, Brian, it doesn't look like it from the outside. It looks like they all pushed the button as far as they could go and signed the best deal that they were able to get for themselves, and they're entirely in their right to do that. It doesn't make it easier for the Leafs, of course. I mean, they've got $40 million tied up in four forwards, and that's never going to go away until these contracts are up, right? Like, they're going to have to mm-hmm. figure out, even though that $40 million will likely become a less percentage of the cap as years go on, right? Because the cap is supposed to go up by a few million bucks a year. So technically they're going to get more room, but what McKinnon's done is it's kind of shined a light on any contract, and he's going to come out looking great. And I don't know that he did, you know, I don't see him as some devious thinker that he's trying to make everybody else look bad. He just said, yeah, I got a lot of money and I'm happy with what I make and I'll take less money. But you're right. He doesn't have to take less money because he didn't take less money when he signed, and he's in the middle of the contract. He doesn't have to do anything now except check his bank account on the first when the automatic deposit goes in.
Right. Yeah.
Right. He doesn't have any. There's no other decision to be made. It's just an interview. But if the Leafs were 19-6 right now, like the Bruins or whatever, I don't think anybody would really think too much about this. But since they're scuffling around, and there's clearly holes in the lineup that could be addressed with more cap space. It's really a topic.
But doesn't it speak to, I mean, where he's from, to who he trains with, one of his best friends, all of that. Like, Sidney Crosby, I think, has been a massive influence on Nathan McKinnon. You can tell, work ethic, the way they conduct themselves, there's no noise coming out of the McKinnon camp. Not suggesting there would be.
Well, that's a great point, Noodles. He makes $8.7 million, right?
Yeah.
Sid makes $8.7 million.
This guy has left millions.
Zillions.
On the table. Because he's superstitious or whatever.
Tens of millions of dollars.
Yes, tens of millions. But I just, you wonder if they, through osmosis, working out in the summer, I'm sure Sid has said, yeah, you know, I'm comfortable. Look at what we have.
Well, he probably looks at Sid and says, man, that guy's got three cups. I wouldn't mind one of those.
Yeah. Right.
Marchand's got a cup.
Because you can look at other guys in the summer and say, oh, that guy's got a boat. That guy's got his own island. That guy's got this. But if you're a competitor and you're about what those players are all about, I kind of like the boat and the stuff like that, but those guys, they want cups.
Yeah.
Well, you can have both.
Sid's got both.
Yeah, you can have them both.
These guys are going to have both
if
they want.
I think Sid's got both.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's not like Sid's driving a 76 Pinto.
But it wouldn't surprise me if he was. That's the thing.
A gremlin. He's wheeling around in a gremlin car.
That's what we should have. Like, we should pick cars that these guys could or should drive.
Based on who they are,
based on
their
personality and all of that, because I think Sidney Crosby would drive something like that, maybe a Ford Taurus.
It'd be reliable.
Yeah, like I mean, I don't want to.
If they're
going to
describe him as a car as a player, he is a Mercedes S500.
No, he's a 740 IL. He's a luxury liner.
Hey, you're an old Mercedes diesel, the old one,
missing a tailpipe.
Yeah, right. Just an old grizzled Mercedes diesel.
But what I'm saying is, like, I don't want to out anybody, but I think, we all know Scott Niedermayer was a very down-to-earth person. I think he drove a very modest vehicle, Paul Kariya.
How about the guy that's in town next Wednesday night for the Clippers? Kawhi Leonard's. I don't
remember.
You know,
he was that 97 Tahoe.
Yeah,
or
he's driving around in a Tahoe from the past century.
What car would I be? I got myself like a van. You know, like just a van.
Like an old mystery machine, like
an
Scooby-Doo.
Astro van.
Like Pooley had in Boston.
Yeah.
A van.
Pooley admitted to driving a van.
Can you picture O driving a van up there? He's got both wheels on there, like the bus driver guy, 10 to 2.
Yeah.
Holding the wheel, make it.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I can't see it.
I can't see a van.
I can't see it.
There would be a side dent for sure. Some sort of.
Get left in a ditch somewhere. That would probably what would end up happening. But anyway, you know, as for the Leafs, forget McKinnon and the contracts. The losses continue to add up. And, you know, we had this conversation in the previous hour that for us, the expectations, they've been adjusted. You know, they've dropped. We're talking 30 games. They can't consider themselves an elite team because they've played 30 games and they've proven that they're not. But I think what we touched on in the previous hour sticks out. From my standpoint, Ray, they better hope as an organization. It's just the players aren't playing well enough.
Yeah,
it better not be like a core issue that they need a significant change to get back on track.
So, Ray, do you think at any point this season we will change our perspective on this team and say that they are an elite team? Can you see that changing this year?
Man, they got so far to go. I'm going to say no. Because I'm thinking of the elite team right now is Boston or Washington, right?
Or St. Louis.
And Boston, yeah, but Boston's got four losses, I think. Is Washington got three? Do I have that right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, regulation, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and so I look at that and I'm like, man, the Leafs are miles from that.
They are. They're miles from that.
And, you know, and so I'm listening to the quotes, you know, like Sheldon Keefe said, you know, with We've talked so much about defense and we're working on that. We've kind of forgotten away from what we were doing offensively. And I'm like, man, it's like they're right now, they're still trying to find, you know, what they are. And go back to, you know, just inside 20 games, you know, we had Mike Babcock on our podcast and he said, I don't know what our identity is yet. And so here we are 10 games, 12 games later, and there's been a coaching change, so there's turmoil, but do you really know what they are, or do we just have in our head what they're supposed to be in our own mind? Because it shouldn't be that hard to play defense and offense if you're a good team at the same time.
It's not rocket science, man.
Tonight. No, man, but I'm in Dallas tonight, and they're benching Alexander Radulov. He's got the second most minors in the league behind Alexander Edler. So they're taking him out of the lineup. They don't score any goals. When they went on that run, they were scoring almost four goals a game. Now they're scoring one goal a game. And I'm like, if you're a team that's like teetering, trying to find a balance or an identity, it can go either way pretty quickly. Yet if you're Boston or Washington or St. Louis, as you mentioned, they've established what they are, and the guys seem to be able to play to that really easily.
So like as of right style, now, what really what are they?
I can't tell you.
They're mediocre at best is what they are based on the standings and their play.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right about the identity. I mean, the identity has almost been defined by the cap. It's like top heavy, high end talent.
Yeah.
And now this, I mean, if you bottle up only the last few games, it's easy to say they're having offensive issues, but they weren't having that before. I mean, they're going to score goals. But they just, you know, we were talking about this earlier too, Ray, on the morning show. They dug this up. Seven times already this year. They played 30 times. Seven times they've been tied in the third period and haven't gotten a point. Seven times tied. And you can't even get to overtime, let alone win that game. Like, that's an ugly stat, and it's a telling stat.
Well, I would say when you look at the composition of the team, the one thing that is, you know, they built it a certain way, and the one thing that's up for debate, and as you mentioned, it's 30 games, so it is what it is. It is up for debate, is can this style of team win in this league? Like, can you be skill-heavy and still win? Or is it that their defense isn't good enough? Certainly they don't have another goalie. I mean, Anderson's got, if it's not Anderson, it's nobody. They might as well You know, they got 1 point with their backup goalie. So there's parts of this team that are that just don't work. And you can't fix them. Like, how are you going to possibly fix when you can't make a deal? Like, it's nice to have an ideal, and you follow that ideal, but every once in a while, it's not a straight line. You got to deviate a bit and add something that you don't have. Well, they can't do that because they can't buy a sandwich without going over the cap. Like, they're stuck with the ideal that they've built already. It's like, this has to work because there is no options, really, until the end of the year.
Yeah, but then what's going to happen?
Well, they've got to make decisions even at the deadline, too, unless they're going to let expiring contracts, you know, the old term own rental.
So what, you pull the trigger on a Kadri trade and then you're going to unload guys at the deadline?
No, I don't see Tyson Barrie going anywhere. But you have decisions to make. Jake Muzzin, like their defensive core, other than Morgan Riley, I think Dermott is an RFA. Like, it's already been pointed out.
They don't have anyone else.
Own rental.
No, they don't. They have Riley, and you're right. It's Dermott who's an RFA. Everyone else
is not under contract.
No.
You know, something, I just want to go back to, Ray, what you're talking about. Somebody said this to me in the rink the other day, like, and it's a bad analogy, but it kind of rung true. There's some Roger Dorns out there. You know, like, I'm not doing that. Like, that's too hard to do that, or I'm not getting in the way of that.
Not my contract to do that.
Right, like, you know, and I didn't even think about it, and the guy was joking about it, but it made me think, like, talented players, but when I look throughout the National Hockey League, Brad Marchand's really talented, but he digs in. You know, I think William Nylander is a really talented guy, and there's nights where he digs in, you're like, man, is he noticeable. But when he doesn't, that's when we get on him. Same thing with Austin Matthews. Same thing, go right through that lineup.
And I think as far as this market goes, Jamie, there's been good teams, and in the 90s when they were good, and it's kind of like, I think no matter what the situation is, I think you always got to keep in mind what the culture of the city is and what kind of team they appreciate. Everyone in Toronto, that's all they care about. Dig in. That's why Darcy Tucker, why do you think they love him? Ty Domi. Gary Roberts. It's like you got to have some of that. That's what people, no matter how rich they are, that go down to those platinum seats, all they want to do is see a guy dig in.
Until they win with a different style.
That's the thing.
Okay, you're right.
That's the thing.
If they win with this and win a cup this year or next year, they'll say, you know what, who cares about digging in because we're getting a Stanley Cup ring.
Right, right.
Well, do you think there's some similarities to, like, some of the players that are at the top end of this roster and the dig-in stuff? And do they? I'm thinking of, like, Nick Backstrom in Washington and Evgeny Kuznetsov. Like, there were years where they were putting up huge numbers and they didn't win anything. Like, do you think that that's possible or probable that that's something they grow into? Because if it's not, how are they going to keep their team with the $40 million tied up in the four guys? Like, how are they going to keep the team built the way it is? Like, I think as you look into next year, like, that defense is not going to look anywhere near the same.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not. Like, it's going to be built differently. Money's going to be appropriated differently. Like, can they pay Jake Muzzin $5.5 million? I mean, just to pick a number, can they do that? He's already close. He's 30, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 30 at $4 million right now.
Yeah, I would say no. Off the top of my head, Ray, I would say no without having to move a forward like they did with Brown, that type of stuff. To me, if they throw Hyman overboard or they trade Kapanen for somebody that they believe can get somebody back. That's no disrespect to Hyman, but I'm saying if they believe that, what does Hyman make? 2.2?
Yeah, he's around 2.5 or something.
That's the Connor Brown treatment.
Yeah, but you keep shedding off those guys who bring a different element to your team.
I wouldn't trade.
You're
Hyman.
I wouldn't either. Let's be honest. The elephant in the room is if you want drastic change, it's one of the four forwards. That's what it is. I don't care which one it is. You make up your mind. But if you want real change, it's Tavares, Matthews, Marner, Nylander. One of those four. And I don't know if it's going to happen, but...
Yeah, Brian, I was going to say, if the management believes that, okay, that we got to give this some time to get up and running. What is it, 7 games for Sheldon Keefe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If they say, look, we got to give this some time to, you know, to get up and running and everybody to get acclimatized to what we're trying to do. Maybe they don't see that as the issue. And they're going to try and continually build around that and try and work it all in. There's no team in the league that has that kind of money tied up in so few players all at the same position.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You could spread it around, a D-man, a couple of forwards, and a goalie if you wanted, but there's all up front. And I think it's pretty obvious if they don't score enough, like if that lineup isn't scoring 3.5 goals a game, they're not going to defend and be 2 goals a game against. I don't see how that's all of a sudden going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. No. They are not ever going to be a team that's in the top 5 defensively in the league. No,
they're not
the way they're currently built.
The Devils.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
I mean, I keep referencing Boston, but look at their goals against. Like, they don't give up anything.
Yeah.
And so they can make do with one top line plus David Krejci. Oh, by the way, Bergeron hasn't played for 5 games. I don't think they've lost with him out of the lineup.
No, it's nuts.
They've won 8 in a row.
They've won 8 in a row, yeah.
Right, but I think it's 5 without Bergeron, or mm-hmm. maybe it's 6. It's like 4 guys are out. Okay, hey, Sean Corrali, you're our second-line center tonight. Okay, and then he goes and plays like a second-line center. Like, that doesn't happen here. And maybe it doesn't happen in Tampa either. But there's ways that teams have built, and you look at them and you go, yeah, I could see that working, or ooh, this one I'm not so sure about. And Toronto's is a question. It's a ideal that they've built that they think can work, that's worked elsewhere, but it's not really worked at the NHL. And before someone says, so Chicago won with all their skill guys, look at their lineup when they had all their skill guys. They also had like a group of forwards and defensemen that were big and tough and mean, and they could grind.
Yeah.
But then they had the skill guys too. Lots of them.
Yep. It's always a combination.
They were built in a different way.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's that's the way it's always been, and it probably isn't going to change. So it's on the Maple Leafs to figure that out, and they still got 52 games to play to do that this season, but with every game that passes, I mean, it's one more opportunity missed to get back into it. All right, buddy, we'll leave it there. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then, guys. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For all of December, receive a $500 Von Mills gift card when you purchase or lease any new in-stock vehicle, Maple Toyota, right next to Wonderland.